Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Today's Gospel reading is the Gospel reading of the account of what is called the presentation of Jesus in the temple, or it's sometimes known as a reading called the Holy Family. And it has these four lead characters. There is Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna. And each one of these people stands as a righteous person before Jesus their Lord, even though Jesus is only a child. And each person arrives at this particular point in time, and this particular point in the narrative, at the end of a long journey of faithfulness. Each of them has waited for the fulfillment of the promises made to Israel by God. Each of them has a relationship with God and have heard God's intention for humanity made known to them in the Scriptures. Simeon and Anna are pious and faithful people. They are, in fact, great figures in the whole of Israel's story with God. For they are the faithful ones of God, the ones whose patience and faith has led them to this point of revelation and fulfillment. And their time of waiting has come to a close. Mary has said yes to her role as the mother of Jesus. And Mary has thus become the one who brings that physical word of God, which I spoke about just before, into the world. And Scripture has in the past given the people the word of God, but never in this way or so dramatically. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Simeon now takes the fruit of Mary's womb, Jesus, cradles him in her arms, and speaks on behalf of the whole of Israel when she says, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon is not, however, some sort of religious weirdo or someone who sort of hung around the temple a bit too much, and he's not overly pious, seeking the limelight. His proclamation is a salute from the whole of Israel's sacred history. His words focus upon the very nature of the child he is holding in his arms. The importance of the word "now" in this proclamation becomes clear when we understand that Simeon is heralding in a new dawn, a new time for Israel. Salvation for all is happening now, right now, and that salvation lies in his very arms. Anna, too, is a faithful believer, such that she has never left the temple, neither day nor night in her devotion to God. And she has her time of proclamation as well. Jesus will deliver the whole of Israel, as she proclaims in verse 38. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Can you imagine the expression on Anna and Simeon's face to know that their words were being quoted 2,000 years later on the other side of the world and in churches all around the world this day? They are special, but not just for their own piety and faithfulness, but also because in Scripture they represent all of Israel's past, the Israel right up to this point in history, the Israel that has waited for God, waited for the Lord, waited for this great time. Now things are going to be different. For Jesus comes, but not only to the religious faithful of the time, the Israel of past and present, but also to the entire world. Good news to all humanity. The old translation, good news for all mankind. Mary and Joseph respond to Anna and Simeon in predictable and understandable fashion. They are somewhat puzzled at the proclamations of these two that they encounter in the temple that day. There is this strange comment by Simeon that a sword will pierce Mary's heart too. A very strange thing to say to a mother cradling her child. Well, what does this mean? Well, it means, though, although Mary has said her initial yes to God and born the Christ child, and thus a yes to Jesus, she must also continue to say this yes right through her life. Her life must be filled with this continued yes to the will of God, just as Anna's life was filled with a continual yes to God in her constant prayer and faithfulness in the temple. Mary's pain of giving birth will culminate years later with her watching her son die an agonizing death on the cross. That is the sword that will pierce her heart again. Nevertheless, this little family, this holy family, leaves the temple with the need for all of them, Jesus included, to keep on saying yes to God. I think we are in this way. I would hope that you can agree with me, encouraged to continue saying our own yes to God, be that in a very little way or being in a very large way. Jesus calls us to him, but we are called not once, but we are called repeatedly. We are called continually throughout our life, and this call is constant. Thus the expression, one lives out one's calling. One isn't just called once, a telephone call years or months before. We are called every day. God calls us every day to be God's followers. We are thus to continually say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus. That's how we become Jesus' disciples. Just as Jesus himself will demand the rise and fall of nations, heroes and powers, so too are we asked to be part of that process. This is not easy stuff. Swords will pierce our own hearts too. This funny notion that a life of faith is a guaranteed easy one is a myth. A life that expects and indeed demands forgiveness of all of those around us will never be a walk in the park. But the little family that leaves the temple, the little family that leaves that temple that day encourages us. They too face extraordinary odds, but in their continual yes to God, they give us inspiration to do the same. Now, one of those who this holy family more than inspired was a man named Stephen, acknowledged as the very first of the Christian martyrs. Yesterday was St. Stephen's Day. It was his feast day. And the church around the world remembered Stephen's yes to God and his life of faithfulness even to death. In the book of the Acts of the Apostles, Stephen is described as one of the seven deacons called to care for the widows in the early church of Jerusalem. He was later stoned to death after enraging the Sanhedrin. Luke, the author of not only the gospel bearing his name, but also the Acts of the Apostles, describes the last parts of Stephen's life in a way that are analogous, that are similar to the last days of Jesus. And he does this to highlight the importance of Stephen's life. There is Stephen's passion like that of Christ. There is Stephen being filled with the Holy Spirit like Jesus. There is Stephen's vision of heaven. There is his commending his spirit to God. There is his kneeling as Jesus did in Gethsemane and asking for forgiveness of his persecutors. This witnessing to Jesus in every aspect of one's life is seen by Luke as being the great imperative of Christian life and discipleship. And so Luke presents the last hours of Stephen's life to encourage his readers to see that they are to imitate Jesus' life, even if it means going to our death for him. This first Sunday after Christmas, where you all get a gold stamp for coming to church, so close for Christmas Day. I've made those stamps in the record of services in the vestry. This first Sunday after Christmas, it's fitting that we hear today's gospel and we are reminded of both the Holy Family and of St. Stephen. The Holy Family's fear and trepidation of the future might be likened to some of the trials that our own families endure. But as we sometimes fear the future as disciples of Christ, we can be encouraged that the very parents of Jesus were worried too. We're encouraged too, I hope, by the example of the earliest martyr, Stephen, a man prepared to go to his death for his faith. He is one of the many forefathers of the faith you and I have inherited as fellow believers. We are linked to him, as are all Christians. He is our brother in Christ. He's thus a member of the family, so to speak, in calling each and every one of us to follow Jesus like he did. The difficulty is, of course, working out what you are prepared to sacrifice to follow the Christ. And for each of us, that will be different, and in different decades of our life, that will be different too. What that little holy family heard and saw at the temple on that day, which we heard today, we still hear and we still see today. We are reminded that Christ is indeed the fulfillment of all Israel's history and the one who was eagerly and prayerfully waited for. And the proclamations of both Simeon and Anna are proclamations for us too. We can be inspired by them if we have the ears to listen. Now your servants have heard the news of Christ, and we can depart in peace. But we must do so doing two things. One, beginning and ending, praising God. And two, speaking about this child, Jesus, of course. And that pretty much sums up the essence of the Christian life. Praise God and speak of the child. Amen.